One of the central features of this week's Pasha is the topic of Machlos Asuros. There are two Pashas in Chumash that are devoted to Machlos Asuros. One is in Shmini, and the other is in Pashas Re'eh. So, if you examine both of these Pashas, if you have the Chumash in front of you, you can be able to get a better handle on it. So here in Pasha Shmini, the Torah provides seemingly one perspective. We're talking about in the Perek Yud Aleph. The Torah provides one perspective on the topic of Machlos Asuros, and then we'll see in Pasha Shmini, the Torah provides a different perspective. Otherwise, the obvious question that would be asked is, why the necessity for the duplication? So in general, whenever we have any kind of duplication, what one has to do is examine carefully the two parashas, and generally it's fairly obvious that, as I said many times, Baruch Shalom was a briska, Moshe Rabbeinu was a briska, and one can see actually the two different components of the parasha. So the Shmini, you'll carefully examine, doesn't require even, you don't need a doctorate, you can see it fairly, it's fairly evident. So starting from Perek Yud Aleph, the Torah identifies the simonim that are required for an animal to be kosher. Mafreses parsa, shosha shesa, this is in Pasuk Gimel. And then the Torah identifies the particular animals that are not kosher because they only have one simon and are lacking two simonim. And then the Torah speaks, there are four different groups that are mentioned here. The second group actually is already having to do with fish in the water. Pasuk Yud, snapiv kaskeses, fins and scales. So notice the language that the Torah uses at the end of Pasuk Yud, which is going to be characteristic of the entire Pasha. Namely, sheket seim lachem. The Torah uses this word repeatedly. Sheket siu lachem. I think the word sheket generally is translated probably similar to the lav about to shaktsu, in the Gemara Makis, with reference to someone who doesn't use the washroom when he has to. The Mishabura has three different levels of what is required. And the third level is certainly in Isa Daraisa of Al-Tishaksu. It's a Mechavet Shal Dorach, a Gemara Makis. So here the Torah uses the language of Sheket. That all these items are repulsive. And look at the language in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Niblasim Tishaketsu, Yud Beis, Sheketsu Lachem, Yud Gimel, Eilu Tishaksu Bidaof, Lo Ye Ochelu, Sheketsayim. And the Torah continues on its merry way. Pasuk Chof, Sheretzaof, Sheketsu Lachem. And you can see that this seems to be the more or less the theme that the Torah has. And then at the end, of course, the pasuk that I just referred you to, Mem Gimel, where the Torah says, Al tishaksu esnaf shol seichem b'chol asheretz asheretz v'lo sitamu b'yam b'dimesem bo. And so essentially, the Torah here is underscoring the repulsive and disgusting element that's associated with Machlos Asuros. Of course, there are also mentions at the end of the parasha that in the last two or three psukim, Ki ani Hashem amalos chav eretz v'sfayim v'yos lachem v'lokim v'yisem kedoshim ki kodosh oni. But the focus here, as I indicated, is the idea of sheket. So look in Parshas Re'eh, in Sefer Dvorim, you'll notice there the focus, the kibun. I'm sorry? Yes, yes, yes. It does mention that, no question about it. My mother, Al-Shem, used to say that when she would pass the church. My mother didn't have much of a Jewish education. But when she passed the church, somehow her mother, my grandmother, taught her that pasuk. Shakes to shaksenu, b'sayet to saveru, ki cheremu. It's talking about Abu Zara. But I'm talking about in the context of Machlos Asuros. So there, you'll take a look in the Perek Yud Aleph, I believe it is. Yes, it's still there. The Perek Yud Aleph, Pashas Re'eh. So there the Torah also, once again, identifies the simonim that are necessary for kashrus. You look in Psukim Vav. I'm reading on this, if you have the same pagination as I do, page 469. By Perek Yud Aleph, Psukim Vav, Psukim Zayim, Psukim Ches. It mentions these animals. But then, after it discusses as well, Snabiv Kaskeses, referring to fish. And then we get relating to Ophos, that's also Deyadua, that you did in Masorah. But here, the focus of the Torah seems to be a different focus. Namely, Kiyam Kodosh Atol Hashem Elokecha. That's how the Torah actually began this parasha. Beginning of Perek Yud Aleph, Pesukim Aleph and Beis. Kiyam Kodosh Atol Hashem Elokecha. and then Losoch al Kotoiva. And the end of the pasuk, it's almost like a sandwich. It's framed in the framework of Kiddusha. That's what the Torah apparently wants us to accentuate, the idea of Kiddusha. There's both a negative aspect of Machos Asuros, namely Shekets, the element of Shekets, and a positive element as well, which is the element of Kiddusha, if you will, Tzvei Dinim. There's a dialectical element that's built into the very whole notion of Machos Asuros. The Ramban, actually, Ba'arichos, in Pasha Shemini, in this week's Pasha, where the Torah speaks about Baal Teshaksu, the love of Baal Teshaksu, so the Ramban Barichos notes that, for example, he says that the simen of ofos is dirisa, that the nature of an of is to literally go after its prey. Of, especially, let's talking about, let's say, the eagle, the vulture, they are birds of predatory birds. They actually prey on others, and any of that's doris, the Olam Tame means the Torah wants to distance us. Let me just make a few points if you don't mind. The Torah wants to distance us from achzorius, wants to distance us from cruelty, that we should somehow eviscerate, eliminate, expurgate, try to take out of our very innards any element that relates to cruelty. And drisa, any animal that's dores, is obviously an animal automatically that somehow is lacking that very humanity. Now, that achzorius is built into the very fabric of that animal, and therefore the Ramban indicates that, and this is a chiddush of the Ramban, very fascinating chiddush. What about the animals that are kosher? Bali Gera, Makrisa Parsa, those that have cloven hoofs, and that the chew their cud, said the Ramban, you will not find in any of those animals this element of Doris. It doesn't exist. Those the very kashrus simonim, are simonim that an animal is obviously has the kind of sensitivity or rachmanus or instinct, whatever you want to call it. I want to discuss this by Richos David Bachali in this Pasha. Maybe I'll get back to it if I have a chance. I think I mentioned already once or twice before, and I saw this story in the book that I actually know the author, Warmth of Radiance of Gedolei Yisrael. So I mentioned the story once or twice before as well, that I once asked Agoyim Rav Kamenetsky in 1983 when I had a meeting with him. So I asked him, I told him that I taught different types of students. I taught students that came from Iran, and I taught students that came from Russia. And I found a very fundamental distinction between them. The Russians, again, I'm speaking in a very Lashon HaChala, maybe I have no right to accuse all Russians of this, but the Russians were tended to be undomesticated, tended to be wild, tended to be out of control, unhinged. All the Russian students I taught, about 90% of them, I would say. Mashenkin, the Iranians were incredibly refined, and I found them to be not just refined, but they were absolutely, had a certain kind of a princely, aristocratic quality to them. So I asked Rabbi Yaakov, how do you explain the distinction between the two? So he asked me, this is in 1983, a fair number of years ago. So he asked me whether I studied Jewish history. I don't know if I should answer yes, I should answer no, but I decided to shev al tasa other to be quiet. Anyway, at the end, so he told me, and let me tell you something about Jewish history, he spoke in Yiddish, and I spoke actually in English, which he understood. He couldn't speak English. It was a very broken English. That's a broken English and kamo. I could have spoken in Yiddish, but I decided it wasn't, I'm not that fluent in Yiddish. I understand it fully, but I don't speak it that well. Anyway, I spoke in English, he spoke in Yiddish, and he told me, he went through the history of the, literally, the Russian, the last 150 years of Russia, since the Russian Revolution, since 1917, and he discussed with me Stalin and Trotsky. I was astounded by the knowledge of Yaakov Magnitsky of what is going on within the Soviet Union. So the point was that the Russians attempted to totally, more or less, to the extent they could, emasculate Judaism. They wanted to eliminate any vestige of Yiddishkeit, of Judaism, and they succeeded in doing so. And over a period of time, not such a long period of time, when the communists came to power, so every even a scintilla of whatever might have been Jewish was totally eliminated to the point where they succeeded in completely snuffing out Yiddishkeit. Judaism was completely, had to go underground with refugees and with all types of people who obviously could only practice their religion similar to the Muranos in Spain, something along those lines. And as a result, he told me they had no choice but the Machol Sasuros, and that Machol Sasuros led to Timtum Halev, which the Torah speaks about, which the Gemara has as well, Timtum HaNefesh, Timtum HaLev. It led to what you might call, Asalechi used to call it, spiritual atherosclerosis. spiritual hardening of the arteries. And that's essentially what Machos HaSuras are all about. Most Rishonim, with the exception maybe of the Maral in Prague, I'm not such a mumcha in the Maral, it's not my area, but most Rishonim adapt this, and Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar, this week's Pasha, Ba'arichos. Wow, the Rabban as well, but Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar is the one who really goes to town on this idea of what exactly Machos HaSuras. He points out that essentially what a person should try to do is to accentuate his seichel and to minimize his sensuality side. The side, of course, that deals with taivis, and the guf side, the bodily side, should be the one, the kach ha-taiva, which is the stronger element that a person, v'yadua ki ha-taiva chazaka v'tiva, v'nehi ba'adam kodem v'lasichlo, ki ha-taiva mugbad ba mutilat ne'ura, shu nimshach, achar ha-anot ha-gashmiot, v'imoyen hu holich v'godel, ad shi mitgaberet al-seichel. That the taiva tends to overcome, or my favorite word, to trump the seichel, which it does, and therefore you have a problem. Because the taiva precedes the seichel chronologically, and secondly, because the taiva has a lot of support, and the seichel doesn't have that much support, and therefore we need Torah and mitzvahs l'chazik koach haseichel u'lahachlish koach hataivis, and that's why Nezer and Sabina b'mitzvahs amacholim ha'asurim. And Arayos and Tfila and Tainis and Slug and Nilus Chasodim, Shekulam Boim, Lachlish Koach HaTaiva. And he quotes a Chazal, a famous Sifrei, and then he goes on that his Kaddish there, the Torah wants us to do, reference to non kosher food, Miloshim Precious, Lehibadal Mitaiva Se'olam, and someone who does that is called a Kadosh, and he goes on to describe that the Ramban, in the beginning of Kadoshim, is the one who also is Marach on this, but here he has a lengthy Arichos, Sheyigdar Hodim, Esatzma, Vivrosh, Meivu, Hamachal, Bamishte, Hamuta, that's the Ramban Kedoshim. That even food that's permissible, one should try to discipline oneself. And v'yifrosh gam kim anadibur shein uroi. This is the Ramban, the beginning of Kedoshim. And he brings many, many sources, many rayas, and so he indicates that this is part of the obligation, part of the mandate that we have, namely the mandate to achieve Kedusha. And otherwise, we'll be led to Timtum Alev, Timtum Alefesh, which the Gemara has most Rishonim. That's what Rabbi Kamenetsky told me at that meeting. It was a two-hour meeting. As Rabbi Kamenetsky, my wife was with me. She told me that I utilized the time of the Gadol inappropriately. I should have asked the question that I came for, which was really one question, and then left. But I had the Gadol Ador in front of me. Why would I do something like that? And he seemed to be quite happy, and he was smiling the whole time. And so I remained there, for an extended period of time, 2 hours at least. Anyway, so this issue, he said, the Iranians, unlike the Russians, even when the Shah fell in Iran, but they still maintain their allegiance to Kashrus, which is true. They maintain their allegiance to Kashrus and Shabbos, and that accounts for their princely, aristocratic, refined nature. I was astounded by this statement. I remember I told my Rebbe, HaGaon of Yisrael Albert Zatzal, that what Rabbi Yaakov said, I told him everything he said. I actually took notes. I asked Rabbi Yaakov, does he mind waiting while I'm writing my notes? He didn't mind that either. And he was 93 at the time. He was a youngster. So Rabbi Nisim Alper told me, when I told him, he was so astounded by this statement of Rabbi Yaakov, among the many he made. He said, we have to go to Rosh Yeshiva and tell him what he said. So we went at that moment. I drove him to Rosh Yeshiva. So I go to Moshe Feinstein, that's all. And I told Rav Moshe what I heard from Hagoyin of Yaakov. Then he called him Chakim of the Yudoi, the smartest man in the Jewish people. That's what Rav Moshe said about Rabbi Kamenetsky. And then he kissed me. Rav Moshe finds it. It was Kedai. All this was Kedai. Thanks for that. Chaval, that I just couldn't hold on to it. I couldn't laminate it or somehow hold on to it forever. Okay, but this is by way of introduction to this topic, which is what I want to discuss today. And now I want to just refer you to a famous Gemara that has always intrigued me. If I can use the Lashon. The Pasuk says here at the end of the Pasha, this is again a well-known Pasuk, at the end of the Pasha that dealt with the topic we just spoke about. Last Pasuk in the Shemini, page 274, or Perek Yedal, Pasuk Mem Zayin. Ki ani Hashem hamal eschem eretz Mitzrayim, we should be kadosh, lahavdil ben atomi ben atoho, ben achayah nechel, ben achayah shalos se'achel. So Rashi has a famous comment. Rashi says, lahavdil, we want to make a discrimination between Tomei and Tahor, and also Chayon de Acheles and Chayon Shaloti Achel. And Rashi here points out that what's the distinction? It's actually a Gemara. The Gemara says the distinction between the din is that you have to shech a rove of two simonim. In order to have an animal that's kosher, you have to have a majority of two simonim, the kohen and the veshet. the trekin and the esophagus have to be nishrat, have to undergo shchita, a rov of it. So the Rashi says here, and this is the Chazal say, lahavdil benishrat cheser shokana lenishrat rovo. It's only a hair's breadth. It's not much of a distinction between the two. And yet, that is the difference between something which is asa and something which is mutar. And all this, of course, in the Gedra of Chok. So the Gemara says on this pasuk, ki ani Hashem amalas chaveres mitzrayim. The Gemara comments over here that il molei lohelesi. Let me just, I just want to get my point across, which is, as you know, I'm long-winded. Il molei lohelesi b'nei Yisrael mi Mitzrayim elu b'shvil shei metamim b'shrotzim kishar u'mosa elam dayenu. The Gemara says that Klal Yisrael only been taken out of Egypt for this purpose alone, names and teach the Machol Zasuras, that would be sufficient. But I want to go further. I want to mention the Gemara, the famous Gemara in Ervin, the Gemara Daf Yigimel. The Gemara says in Ervin, a really striking Gemara that always struck my fancy. The Gemara actually is really in Sanhedrin, Yuzayin, so that's why I had to mention Sanhedrin, because of you. So the Gemara has a question, who's right to sit in the Sanhedrin? What are the qualities that I need to sit in the Sanhedrin? And among them, the Gemara says the following, I don't recall it now, I think so, I could be wrong. A Moshivim Sanhedrin, Elamishi Odeh Letairis Hasheretz Menatera. Someone who knows how to make a sheretz tahar, he can sit in the Sanhedrin. What a Gemara. Pilei Plum. So the Gemara in Ervin, on Daf Gimel, I'm sure you've also seen that. The Gemara says over there, the Gemara says, Talmid Vosli Koya B'Yavne. There was apparently a very well-seasoned Talmid who lived in the city of Yavne. Shoyim Metaris HaSheretz B'Kufnun Taimin. He had 150 ways to make a sheretz tahar, to make a sheretz pure. So the Gemara in Ervin is rather astounding. It seems to be a little, I would say, strange to say the least. The fact that he knows how to be Matar or Sheretz in 150 different ways, what is the nature of that statement? How are you Matar or Sheretz? So Tesis on the spot, asked the Kasha, I think the Lashon is, Kasha bin Atam, Ma lonu b'chavifu shel Hevel. He's a Charef, a very sharp fellow. But it's Hevel. It's all nonsense. It's all vanity. Matar shatzer sheretz shatoyra timo isai. He's being matar sheretz that the Torah says it's tummy. What kind of a chacham is he? Chacham from Anishtami. That's what my Rebbe used to call someone who's had other terms to use. I won't use the other terminology, but I'll just use the term chacham from Anishtami, which is really a pretty positive term. So anyway, but they meant it in a different way. Whatever the case is, what is the nature of that? What's going on over here? I have to know, Chachmei Sanhedrin have to know how to be Matar Sheretz in 150 different ways, even though at the end of the day, bottom line, it's Tomei. Sheretz is Tomei. What is the nature of that? So my Rebbe used to say the following. They said that, who sits in the Sanhedrin? The answer is, people who are tremendous Bali Chachma, people who are very sharp, have a lot of intellectual acuity, and they're also able to handle all kinds of svaros in all kinds of different directions. They're able to weigh in a very careful, objective, dispassionate kind of fashion, different svaros, but at the end of the day, after the whole shock of Atariya, their yosher leads them to come to one conclusion. They know what is tahar, what's tummy is tummy, and Chazal apparently had the ability even to be matar the sheretz. They theoretically could have done all kinds of things and found the sheretz to be tahar based on svara, based on their thinking. But at the end of the day, we know what the halacha is. If you will put it in a different kind of way, I saw Tesham in the Paris. He writes over there, Sanhedrin. Tesham in the Paris is in Sanhedrin. You probably used it anyway. So he says over there, it doesn't mean that the Chachmei Sanhedrin are Matayer Mamash Sheretz. But they'll show you that really, Al Pi Svara, you can be Matayer the Sheretz, Mikal Vachemeh, the Abba became Tomihu, Mishum Zeres HaMelech. Somebody could be possibly Al Pi Svara correct, but at the end of the day, we have a Torah, Torah's Chaim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us that the Sheretz is Tomeh and not Tar. So there are these, again, kind of dialectic over here. But the point I'm just trying to make is that to be a member of Sanhedrin, you have to have, number one, you have to have a Rosh Pasuach, you have to have an open head, a head that can handle mitzadzeh. Secondly, it has to be Yoshe Asvara. But at the end of the day, Emuna in the Bari Olam, and Emuna in the Taras Chayim, of course, that's a very significant, probably just as critical element that's necessary. Okay, so I'll say that, you'll see in a moment what my point is. Go ahead.
Rosh Shiva mentioned vultures, we don't eat them, but they're scavengers. They don't have this aggressive tendency that the Rambam describes as shekets.
Okay, I can't answer the question because I'm not sufficiently knowledgeable in order to be able to. I don't have the requisite knowledge. I'm just telling you what the Ramban writes. Mani cholaso. I'm just citing Ramban. He claims that all the animals that are kosher, that's his point. The animals that are kosher, mafesas parsa, shasa shesa, And Malagera don't have any of these kind of cruel tendencies. By nature, by definition, they are animals that are, let's call them compassionate. They have a compassion instinct. Animals operate instinct. That's another Ramban Chumash. A few times Ramban writes like that. But they operate now. As far as the Ophos, that's what the Ramban mentioned, by Oph. That these, talking about, I guess, a vulture is a kind of Oph, no?
Yeah.
Okay, so they are Dores. Their definition is to, they are birds of prey. They prey on others.
Okay, I don't know. They're scavengers.
Okay, scavengers, you're a mumche b'ach Hashem. I don't have such mumches. It's not my area of strength. Anyway, so I trust you what you say. But I simply want to point out another issue. Now, this is a very serious halachic issue, but I'm not going to go into it by Michal because it's a little bit complicated, and I don't want to complicate your lives too much. Rashi has a famous comment over here in Shemini. Rashi asks Kasha, namely, the Torah speaks about, as I pointed out to you, it mentions the simonim, which are machshir, an animal, namely, what makes an animal tor, malagera, and mafreses parsa, cloven hoofs, and shosa shesa, and it chews its cud, etc., so the Gemara then lists four, the Torah says, the Torah lists four animals that are not tor. Gamal, Shafan, Haneves, that are not tor. So they're not bali parsa, prusa, and the chazir, which is not malagera. Chazir is in its own category, chaza fisul kosher, as they used to say. So the Torah said, mipsar mosachelum, that's the Torah said regarding these four animals. Yes, Rashi, ain't the other elu. What about other animals? The Torah only mentions four. Well, there are other animals that are tame, that they are no simoni tara. Says Rashi, Amri kalvachemer, one of the most famous kalvachemers in Shas. Amri kalvachemer, uma elu, sheish behem tzat simoni tara. These have some simonim of tara, and yet they're also Kalvachomer to animals that have no simoni tara. Kalvachomer that Rashi cites. So the Ramban cites this Rashi, and the Ramban points out that this Rashi is really a Sifra, and the Sifra, the Ramban quotes the following. The Sifra says, Ma elu sheish bohem simoni tara, says the Ramban, harein below sasi al achilasa. They have a lot. Shar bein matzmei hashem bohem shum simoni tara, ein odin shetei below sasi al achilasa. Kalvachomer, other animals that don't have any simonim at all, of course they should be also. Nimtzu, said the Ramban, Hagomo, Vashafan, Vaneved, Vachazir, Vanakosav. It's really these four I mentioned in the pasuk. Nishar, Shar, Behemotmeos, Bikavachomer. But other Behemotmeos are also because of the Kalvachomer. Nimtzes, Mitzvahs, Hasei Shalem, Vanakosav. Mitzvahs, Losasei, Vanakavachomer. In fact, the Ramban, Ein Mazir, Vanadin, and you punish someone from a Kalvachomer, we have a klal, and Kol HaShas, and Mazir and Adin. So the Ramban explains, he has a number of explanations over here. One explanation is that the Braisa is not according to that Man Yomar. The Braisa is according to Man Yomar, Mazir and Adin. It's possible to get a punishment based on a Kalvachomer. It means Onshim and Adin. Or he suggests the Braisa is Mashbeshtahi. The Braisa is an error, and it's not Matim to Alocha. But the Ramban goes on to say, B'tam HaMalkus B'shar Be'imetz Me'am, Neshomar HaKosu B'Yisra HaShafan, he said there's no need for a kavuchomer. There's also a famous Rambam in Machos Asuras where the Rambam writes over there in the second parak, I think in Halacha Aleph, the first Halacha, the Rambam mentions, since it says in the Torah, said the Rambam, I would have thought that even if it's not Malagera, my friend's Pras Asura, Lava Bom Bechlav Asay, and the Rambam goes on to say over there, Machos Asuros, that by Gamal, by Chazir, by Nemes, by Shafan, it said Lo Sokhu, so the Rambam says, you see, there's a Lav, the Abbey Shesh Bem Simen Echa, and then he writes, with Kolshkin Chabe Machayot Meya, certainly, Kabuchoymer, other Behemo Shein Basim and Klau, that the Isra Achila is Balav, and more in Asay Habab Bechlal Asay, Los Asay Habab Bechlal Asay, Tochel, comes out the Rambam holds like the Shita of Rashi, and also Asay Shah Be'im Asbeyas, Bidin Kavachoymer. Okay, and the other Rishon, Macholik on this, I'm not going to go into this, this is a whole very famous discussion among the Dodi Achreinim, Taisim Sochim, that Memalev brings other parallels. I'm not going to go through all the parallels right now. I'm just indicating that here you have an issue, and the major issue is that which is raised by the Gdolei Achronim in Chulin. They asked the Kasha whether a famous Chakir, which is found in the Marit, Bishayat Trani, one of the great Gdolei Achronim, so the famous Kasha they asked, Other simanim that the Torah says here, when the Torah tells you what kosher animals, what simen they have to have, are they what they call a simen? Is that a simen to identify the meat? If you want to know what the species is, so you have to know these simanim. Well, no, it's simply a siba for kashrus. This is a subject of I would say 25 sfarim have been written on this topic minimally, among the Rishonim, among the Achrayim. Okay, I'm not here to discuss that because that's a halachic issue, which I didn't plan on talking about this evening. But what I do want to talk about, which I think is more significant, is the following, and namely, talking now about the issue as I began regarding Machol Sasuros, and in general, what it leads to. I just want to make one comment, which I will make, regarding what I said before, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Yud Zayin, that I was reminded when I thought about the matter today. I was reminded about what's going on in the world around us. Namely, we have probably called Medina Sheva Olam against Medinat Yisrael. That's what it looks to me, that we are on one side and everyone else on the other side. And of course, they have all kinds of svaras. They know how to be Metar the Sheretz. They know how to be Metar Hamas. Hamas is a Sheretz, it's a Sheketz. It's an absolutely disgusting and absolutely repugnant organization that. I think you said it well. Shakes to Shakzenu, Vesayev to Savenu, Kicheremhu. It should be utterly destroyed and decimated. But meanwhile, the world, because of all the Tzvaris, so now the world came to the Maskana, that we're not going to be retired the Sheretz. The Sheretz, on the contrary. Who is the Sheretz and who is the Shekets? We are. We are the Shrotzim and we are the Shkotzim. And we're the ones who are guilty of genocide and we're the ones who are guilty of inhumanitarian behavior. And even that Biden, who's such a, wow, what a hypocritical brisker that he is. On the one hand, he's willing to weaponize us, to give us weaponry. On the other hand, because he basically realizes that the cause that we are fighting for is essentially our lives, and they were the ones who began this entire, these acts of savagery and barbarism and what have you. But mitzad sheni, you know, he wants us to be able to fight with our hands tied behind our backs, v'chulu v'chulu. So he's also a kumakop, like the rest of the world, kumakep left and right, with the United Nations, the most cruel of them all. And known for their krumkai, that's all they have is krumkai. So Leitchik said correctly many, many years ago, which I heard him a number of times, I spoke about this umpteen times, the Vesalevi, Siva, Mesevig, the only reason why they were created, the United Nations, was to establish the State of Israel. That's the only positive thing they did. Prior to that, they didn't do anything. They actually do something else. They know how to spend billions of dollars and how to waste billions of dollars, squander billions of dollars. And the head of the UN now, of course, is clearly very partisan in his position regarding Israel and the like. And, okay, I just had to make one statement because of the, I think it's very relevant. They know how to be Matar the Sheretz. Okay, my issue is the, more or less, you start looking, this is what Abyankiv Kamenetsky, Zechasag de Bracha, told me, he didn't cite to me all the Doli Rishonim and Achreinim, but he cited a few of them. I just had to look them up. And for the last 3 days, I've been exploring this matter. The Svarno, Yer Vayikra, Yer Aleph. What's the reason for the Issur Machol Sasuros? Essentially, he says, Raw the Sakein Mizgam, Hashem decided we have to somehow try our best to create personalities, namely Yidden, who are going to be Mucheyumuchan Laor Baor Achaim Anitzchim. Through Kashrus, we're able to achieve an eternal life. By being careful what we ingest. And it says, he says, to prepare each one of us, that's how the Sforno writes in the most beautiful way. I assume you're probably aware that of course you're aware, it's mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. Where is that? Sim Vav, when the Shulchan Aruch talks about Rofi Kolbasa Mafi Lasa, it's a very striking bracha that needs a lot of attention. We say when we use the lavatory in the washroom, Rofi Kolbasa, so the kasha is, what's Mafi Lasa? What does that refer to? That second segment of the bracha. And the answer that Ramo explains, because the fact that Hashem is able to somehow create a hybrid. What's the hybrid? The hybrid is the hybrid of the Ruach Adam, the Ruchnius, Mitzad Gashmius. Somehow the two combine harmoniously, interact with each other in the most beautiful of ways. And that sense of hybrid of Gashmius and Ruchnius together, which are really two different sugim, And all this is we want that the ruach should be mashpia on the guf, and not that the guf should be mashpia on the ruach. Similar to what I said earlier when I quoted Abin Abachayim. So the Mishnah Berurah here said the following. He quotes the Magad Avraham, Ubekabonos Arizal Kosov, says Mishnah Berurah, that neshama nene meruchni samachal, vaguf nene migashmi samachal. I think I once told the story. I'm not so much into into chassidim, but they tell about the Baal Shem Tov. Stories from the Baal Shem Tov that once a king had a son who was apparently not exactly the ideal princely kind of son, decided to exile him to a distant rural hamlet, and essentially he was with peasants, peasant farmers and peasants in general, and he was of course of a kingly, princely kind of nature. So he went to the local bar, and he finally once after a few months got a letter from his father. And he was very delighted. He was besimcha that he got a letter from his father. And he wanted to share the letter with others, but he's with peasants who are illiterate and not educated, and also who are much more gufani than they are ruchani. This letter was of ruchani nature. So he said to himself, okay, I have an idea. Let me buy each one of them a drink. And he bought them a drink. And then a second and a third and a fourth. Before you knew it, they were besimcha, said the Baal Shem Tov, with their element, and he was the simcha with his element. So that's the combination that the Mishnah Berurah is talking about, Magen Avraham, of the ruach and the guf. And the guf is neder from gashmius, and the neshama is only neder from ruchnius. But we want the neshama to be accentuated, so sometimes we need the gufani elements in order the neshama. That's yom tov and simcha lebasa and simcha lebayayin. But in general, the machalas hasuros you see from kemat all b'shenim, starting from the medrash. I'm not going to read all the midrashim. I actually went. I saw in Abchaim Vital this week as well. The Shari Kedusha, I have to own the Sefer, that he explains this connection between the guf and the nefesh. And he says that's essentially what eating properly is all about. That is designed to give the guf that which the guf needs in order to be sustained. On the other hand, the idea is to accentuate the neshama element in every individual. I'll just read you now the language again of, this is partially, I won't read from Abchaim Vital, that's a little bit beyond my ken, but the Rav Chaim was here to as a famous comment in Perek Yedal. Ki ha-machos ha-suros machnis in tumah b'libo v'nafsho shel adam. What do non-kosher food do? It brings tumah to a person's lev and nefesh. Ha-shek dushas ha-shel mokam baruch hu mistaleket u-mitrachek mimenu. You drive Hashem away. V'u ma-she'om v'b'shas, of course, the Gemara Neuma, the Testament of Beis, v'nidmeisem ba matiku v'nidmeisem elu v'nitamtem, sha-avera v'tamtem is libo shel adam. Person does an avera, takes away the seichel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you, and you're given over to the goof, and then he goes on to say, "Vamachos asuros." I'm skipping. He says, "They are even worse than all these surim." Hey, nichnasim beguva shel adam mamish, v'nasim basam b'psara. The Rambam writes more in the Ruchim, "You are what you eat." The Rambam was a rationalist. He's not speaking from a Kabbalistic standpoint. Din Rav Chaim is talking from al pi Kabbalah. And so this is then something which is very fundamental. And the Vilna Goin in the Pirush HaGadol I saw, he writes, he explains the what's Malei Gerah Mafisa Parsa in Yoni Simoni Tara Shnei Simonim. He says one is Malei Gerah, one is Mafisa Parsa. We are inyan to Moshe Kosva Kadmeinim because of Ramban that I just mentioned. Kibaof here this idea. Kol Of Hadoreis Tomei. Avu Mishat Torah LaOmer Simonim BaOfos. Torah only mentions Simonim by Behemos, not by Ofos. Ofos is based on Masera. Avu Chacham Mambo Simon. Shekol ov dores tamei. Any ov that has this quality, a prey. Ve'inyan ki me'achila tadavar kvi mezek hamachol kenia teva ha'ochel. Ha'ochel, he writes, mashpia al tivu shaladur ha'ochel. That which I eat has an effect on my very nature. V'chol machol b'milvad chel gagashmi. Every machol has a material element and also a tzaduchani, a spiritual element. And machol sasuos yeshor shuchani tamei. And when you eat that machol, says the Gaon, u'mashvi al ha'odam, ki eber machzi geber. And he goes on to speak about the nefesh ha'bahamish ha'odam. That's what it does. It seems to play right into the nefesh ha'bahamish. And the truth of the matter is that this is, again, the famous yisod of the Ibn Ezra in Shmos, in the Pasha that deals with, where is that, Berachov, Pasha of Osachmo. The Ibn Ezra's famous Kasha, but the Ibn Ezra asked that, how could the Torah command me not to covet something which belongs to somebody else that is not possible. And he gives a mashal of the ish kafri, of the individual who is more or less a kind of a farmer, a peasant again, that he sees the Bat Melech, he sees once the princess, and he says, I'm going to marry her. How you talking? Is such an idea something which is realistic? Of course not. So, and he writes over there that it's almost as if the kafir would think about, he says, Ke'echad ma'mishugoyim, she'yachshov, she'eshlo knafayim lo v'ashamayim. That's what he writes in Bethesda. That he thinks he has wings, that somehow he's going to fly up to heaven, and the like. No one would think that way. So in a similar fashion, there's no way he could possibly marry into the family of the Bat Melech. And so that's the point, that it's possible to control that which a person covets. And of course, that idea of Lo Sachmot, again, is something which is very fundamental in terms of this issue. The Rishon, the Rabbi Mechaya, has in B'Shalach a whole essay. He wrote on the Midat HaHistapkus. Ezeu Osher HaSomech B'Chilko, which Midat HaHistapkus, to be satisfied. You know, it's very fascinating. I just saw someone show me today. There are not enough snacks in the United States for Pesach. So, Baruch Hashem, they were able to be mechadish another 300 snacks. So, we'll have what to eat for Pesach. Otherwise, Achman Litzlan, Rabbi Halperin, will be in a lot of tzolos without having the proper requisite number of snacks to eat for Pesach. He showed me, Zev Kaplan showed me what Mishpacha magazine looks like. I don't read Mishpacha. So I do read Mishpacha. Rashi Megillas Esther, Mishpacha. Year by year. Anyway, so he showed me half the magazine is devoted to food. And the other half, what Pesach program is I'm going on? In Greece, and Ahin, Naher, all over the world, people are going on Pesach programs, which probably someone said, I have no right to say this, I shouldn't say it. Most likely, Yesh Makom Listapek al Kashrut Shalom Kamoto Elo. That's kasha number one. Yesh Makom Listapek al Yom Tushen Yom Kamoto Elo. Come in the Kushot that I discussed with four or five Balabatim, this wonderful Balabatim in this shul. Anyway, so whatever the case is, that's what the world is all about. The world is the opposite of this Midata Histakut. Lo Alechem Avad Yichya Adam. Yaakov Avino. He asked for Lechem Lechel Begel Lilbosh. We've gone a little beyond that. 300 snacks, Baruch Hashem, I hope there'll be enough. I hope there'll be sufficient for that I should have one every 5 minutes to help me. Otherwise, I won't be able to maneuver, won't be able to function, and the like. So the Gaon goes on. I actually Xerox a lot of the Gaon. The Gaon goes on. He writes, V'chein hu b'behema, my precious parasa, Shimon she'eno doris v'toreif teref ela. He says that by virtue of the fact that the animal has split hoofs, that's a sign it's not doris. And Malagera, Kivale Mishe Shoharbe Mod, Yotel Midat Sibuko. And he spoke about the same idea, the Midata Istabkut, and that a person should be Sameh Bechelko and the like. And and he quotes the Chazal, the Gemara Svetim, and Chesma Beis, Kol Mishe Shlope. The Omar Ma Ochal of Ochar, the person says, what am I going to eat tomorrow? He has a meal right in front of him, Ein Lelem Tani Amuna. Dvayen Biemeka Yadua. I'm not going to go through the whole parasha of the man. The Gaon is unbelievable. Arichos is going on the Agoda, where he talks about the Arba Chayas Asuros, and he goes on to compare them to the four Malchiot. What a Arichos he has over here. All the Malchiot that were destroyed, and the Gaon has, based on his understanding, they were destroyed not just because of the Chitzonius and the Kulkol, the Pnimius was the Kulkol, and that's all the Kulkulim of these animals that don't have the kosher simonim that we that one should look for. And obviously the macholim have a major hashpah on a person, ben leto ben lemutov. I think I mentioned, I said in my yeshiva, I told them, they asked me, what exactly, since you had contact with a lot of Rosh Yeshiva, and from the Mir Yeshiva in Shanghai, I think I mentioned this also a number of times, that in Shanghai they literally had nothing to eat. They were starving on Pesach. So what did they eat? They ate peanuts. So I heard from several mirrors. Mirror on the wall is the fairest one of all. No, that's pretty bad. Anyway, but so I heard from several mirrors, those who learned in the Yeshiva in Shanghai, they ate peanuts. So the Japanese custodian came over to them and said, what are you doing? Hametz! Hametz! So he knew that it was Hametz, kidneys. And so they had no choice but to eat kidneys. That literally, they were starving with nothing to eat. And so here, the Gemara says in Chulin, also a famous Gemara, we're all familiar with it, that Eilakot Yibrochim, maybe Takolo, the Tzadikim, talking about the Ramban and Chumash discusses it also. The Chamor, Pichas Ben Yoya, also Bak Ben Akashris, he probably passed the Chalice also the Chamor anyway, but certainly it's a Yadua that this notion, this idea of Machlos Asuros I saw actually years and years ago, I'm trying to remember where I saw this, but Rav Yankiv told it to me. That's where I probably heard it first. He quotes me some Chassam Sefer. I don't know where it is. The Chassam Sefer says that Rov Abikursis Rachman Litzlan comes as a result of Achilas Nevelas Atreifas. A person doesn't eat kosher food. That's Rov Abikursis comes from that. It happens, it has an impact. Chazal see that as having an impact on a person's personality and the like. And so this is exactly what I believe the entire Psukim in the Parsha are talking about. And I think that this is an area that a person, all of us have the ability to more or less try to create whatever kind of boundaries that we possibly can. And something that clearly the Torah wants us to do. As I said, today we're living in a world which I call all the time one America is one big chapanash. That's how I see it, and I still see it that way. Unfortunately, a lot of it is coming here too. So we have to try our best to discipline ourselves. And here, I think also, we don't have to go to every single restaurant that opens up or every single new fangled kind of food item that's now being offered to us. I'm not sure what people are running to exactly. They're running to a streetcar named Desire. That's what they're running to. And I'm not sure there's any such Indian Gadol or Indian Cotton or any kind of Indian Bichlal in any of these areas. So this is one area that the Torah actually has both, on the one hand, elements of shekes. You have to be extremely careful about what you eat. That's why people who are medaktik are very medaktik when it comes to what they eat and the kashrus and the hashkocha for this reason. It's not just, not for naught. Not the bechinam that the chazal and that the people who are medaktik, Yireim Ushleimim, are very careful to eat only the highest standards they possibly can, and also to be medaktik whatever literally comes into their mouth because of this incredible kind of ashva. We'll just end with one comment, and that's a comment that the Gemara has here in Chulin. Also a very fascinating Gemara. What is this Gemara? This needs a bit of attention. I'm not going to discuss it right now because I don't think I have time to discuss this Gemara. The Gemara at one point says that when it mentions, I spoke about earlier, the context of the Kal V'Chomer. So the Gemara, after it presents the Siman of the Torah for Dogim Ta'orim, Snab of Kaskes, the Gemara Samach Babim and Beis, quotes a Mishnah and Nida, famous Mishnah. Kol Sheyeshol Kaskeses, Yeshol Snapir. If something has scales, automatically we assume it has fins. Ve'eh Sheyeshol Snapir, but you can have a situation of something that has, in effect, fins, B'lid Kaskeses, without scales. Yes, the Gemara said the Torah could have written Kaskeses without Snapir, because Kol dog sheishol kaskeses yeshol snapir. So why do I have to write it? Answer the Gemara in the Chanami. Ella yagdil teruv biyadim. What in heaven's name is the Gemara saying? What kind of teruv is that? It seems to be that one sim is completely miyutar, completely unnecessary. What does it mean yagdil teruv biyadim? Okay, there are different explanations, but I wanted just to suggest that the Mishnah at the end of Makkos, Rabbi Chananya ben Akasha Omer, we say it usually when we finish Mishnayos. I want to read to you Rashi on the spot. Rashi in Makkos. Rashi says, "B'makom sheyeshna misbar mitzos shelo hayatzorech la'aviron." Rashi gives the example. There's no need for the Torah to tell us. Keep going. Achila shrotzim u'nevelos. There was no need for the Torah to elaborate on that. Ki kemad ve'en adam sheno kotzman. Hear that? There's no person who's going to come near Shrotzim and the Regulus. They are abominable. El Tzivim HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Shekabu Schar Al Shepor Shemehem. Hashem gave it to us. In other words, we should receive a schar for desisting, ceasing and desisting from eating these items. Okay, Halavai, we should be zochet to be medaktik in eating dafka only things that are completely kosher. And Chas V'Shom staying away from eating machos asurus, even the subject. And there will be zochet Lag the Torah Ladira on the Indian. Right. Baruch HaTorah, the Lord, 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 the